The last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
The incoming president of the United States, Joe Biden, gave a press conference last night where he was asked about the outgoing president's continued refusal to accept the result.
I interpret that as Trumpism. No change in his modus operandi. I think the pressure will continue to build. Look, I'm having a lot of meetings with world leaders on the telephone. I cannot get into negotiating with them about things that are going to be done, but they're calling with some degree of enthusiasm. Everyone from the Holy Father to prime ministers across the globe. And so we're moving along, knowing what the outcome will be. And as I said earlier, and I probably shouldn't repeat it, but I find this more embarrassing for the country than debilitating for my ability to get started.
Carl Thomas, are you finding Trump's refusal to concede to the inevitable in any way embarrassing?
No, Matt, there's a process. There's a legal process here. There's vote counting going on. The state of Georgia has just discovered 2,600 in-person ballots that they didn't know existed. There are going to be recounts and legal challenges, and I think that the process should play through. I do think that claims by some Trump defenders that voting machines were tampered with, that they were the same voting machines used by Hugo Chavez, or Maduro, rather, in Venezuela, all of this is part of conspiratorial stuff. I'd like to see the evidence, and I think it's important for the evidence to come forward quickly or to accept the results that Trump lost. A lot of this is about, for the Trump people anyway, keeping the base in line. The Republicans made significant gains in the House of Representatives, 73 million voters for Trump, and a lot of Republicans as well. But you know, we have a legal process in this country, and I think it should be allowed to play through. And that way, most, I think, of the Trump supporters, if it is shown to be fair and accurate, will want to accept the results and live to fight another day.
Do you really think that? Do you not think this feeds their conspiracy theory that their man has been somehow dumbed down, that he is the victim of an unfair process? And no matter how it is shown to them, that if Trump and his acolytes keep saying it was rigged, it was unfair, it's a fraud, that's what they will continue to believe, and they won't give the Biden presidency a chance.
It's funny because that is exactly what happened in 2000 with people who believe that the Supreme Court stole the election from Al Gore and gave it to George W. Bush. Hillary Clinton, 8 years later, same thing. There are a lot of Hillary supporters who believe that, okay, she won the popular vote, but she lost the electoral vote, so we should change the system. Hillary should be president. This is what politics is. I doubt if Fine Gael wins an election in Ireland that the Fianna Fáil people just say, oh, okay, we're not going to fight them anymore because they won. This is what parties do. This is what the political system is all about.
Actually, over here, in fairness, I think we do accept the results. Marion McCone,
sure,
would you be as sanguine as Cal is that this is appropriate and is not doing damage?
This is, as you know, I don't want to paraphrase Joe Biden, but this is embarrassing for America. The election happened 2 weeks ago. There is no comparison, Cal, between what happened in 2000 with in the Bush-Gore situation, where it was 537 votes in one county, in one state, which was Florida, and the Electoral College was 269 to 271, and Al Gore had won the popular vote. There is no comparison in this. Joe Biden won the popular vote by, 6 million votes or thereabouts. He's at 290 in the Electoral College. He cannot be caught. And you say, let's see the evidence. Well, in the last 2 weeks, what has Donald Trump been doing? He's been running in and out of courts. He's being laughed out of some courts. The judges have, in throwing out cases in other courts, expressed an exasperation because you're saying, you know, let's look at the evidence. There is no evidence. Do you not think if there was evidence, we would have seen it in the past 2 weeks? This is absurd. My theory about all of this, for what it's worth, is You know, I every day I get 20 text messages from Donald Trump and Mike Pence, and they ask me for $45 to stop the steal, to stop the vote. Well, guess where that money is going to? 60% of that money is going to Donald Trump's private coffers to do whatever he wants to do with after January the 20th. This is a scam, and this is why they're keeping it going, because Donald Trump wants to gather all this money to do whatever he wants with it for after, when after he leaves the presidency, not to fight the votes. And I'll give you one example of this, Cal. I was up in Capitol Hill this morning, and the votes in Wisconsin have to be, are being certified today, which means that Trump has until 5 o'clock tomorrow to ask for a recount. A recount will cost $7.8 million. Now, he has raised tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars already from his Stop the Steal scam. Do you think he's going to use that money? No, because I've already heard that they're not going to pay for a recount. So what's happening to all this money that he's raising at the moment for recounts? The whole thing is completely phony. And you have Mike Pence now making a laughing stock of himself, going around Europe and the Middle East and Turkey. And in France, the French foreign minister said, basically, I have to meet him. For the moment, he's my counterpart, but only until January 20th. So you've got a Secretary of State pretending that his team won when they lost, when all of the people he's meeting have already congratulated the winner, which is Joe Biden. You couldn't make it up. It's farcical.
Okay, I want to stay with you, Marion, because I want you to explain to me the significance of what Lindsey Graham, and in particular, and Mitch McConnell, two leading Republicans, the antics they're getting up to at present.
Well, what Lindsey Graham is doing, I hope, will land him in a lot of trouble, and it deservedly should. Mitch McConnell is doing what Mitch McConnell does. He's laser focused on victory always, on getting what he wants. What he's laser focused on at the moment is getting... Georgia is in such an unprecedented situation where you have two runoffs in Georgia. You have two sitting Republican senators who are facing runoffs with two Democratic challengers. This doesn't happen in Georgia. It's a deep red state, but now it's voted for Biden. There's a very, very slim chance that if the two Democrats win their challenges in Georgia on January 5th, which I think would be a really long shot, but then the Democrats will take control of the Senate, which means Mitch McConnell, as Senate Majority Leader, is out of a job effectively. So he wants the Republicans to win both those races in Georgia. Actually, they only have to win one at all costs. So that's what he's focused on now. So he's just staying quiet. He doesn't want to rile Trump's base. He wants to get the vote out. What Lindsey Graham is doing is more sinister. The Republican Secretary of State in Georgia came out and said that Lindsey Graham, a Republican senator from South Carolina who has no business meddling in Georgia, pressured him to try and get rid of some votes on technicalities, trying to pressure him to throw out votes that would have been Democratic votes. This is not just disgusting. You know, Lindsey Graham wraps himself in the American flag, calls himself a great patriot. What he's doing is like something you'd see done in Belarus or in Russia, perhaps. You know, I mean, okay. It's absolutely counter to democracy. And there should be an investigation into what he's doing. His own Republican colleague, and this Secretary of State describes himself as a conservative Republican, has called him out on this.
I want to go to Cal on this, because Cal, there's now been confirmed that Lindsey Graham has done much the same in two other states. Who is he to be doing that? And does that look more like fraud than anything you can say about Democrats trying to actually interfere with the lawful counting of votes?
Well, going back, if I can remember that far, when Marion started speaking about money going into Georgia, the Hollywood left, many, many other people are funneling millions of dollars into this race for the Democrat side. And now they're taking a holier-than-thou moral superiority outlook on all this. Lindsey Graham denies that he tried to pressure the Secretary of State Georgia for changing election results or recounting or anything else. I wasn't on the phone call, so I don't know. But this is a major deal, as Marion says. I mean, if the Republicans can hold on to the Senate, the significance of that is that they will be able to block many of the far-left Bernie Sanders, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Green New Deal, higher taxes, and all the rest. So that's why it's an important election. I don't know why Lindsey Graham was calling. He says he didn't apply any pressure. I would accept him at his word unless somebody leaks the phone call.
Well, maybe people will accept the word of the Republican governor who has said it and has no reason to lie about it, whereas clearly there's a reason for Lindsey Graham to deny what he may have been caught out on. Let's hear a little bit from Joe Biden again last night, asked what he could do to boost the US economy.
What I would do, I would pass the HEROES Act. It has all the money and capacity to take care of each of those things. Now, not tomorrow, now. And the idea the president is still playing golf and not doing anything about it is beyond my comprehension. You'd at least think he'd want to go off on a positive note. But what is he doing? And there's virtually no discussion. And the Republican, we're told, I don't know if that's true. You may know, Senator, but there's 22 Republicans say they won't vote for anything. Well, there ought to be at least a dozen of them have the courage to stand up and save lives and jobs now. We should be doing it now, keeping those businesses open, providing the PPE, the protective equipment, as well as the PPP, the money that we allow people to get funding to keep their businesses open, everything from separation to testing to a whole range of things that allow businesses to open and stay open.
Very eloquent and clear there, Cal, isn't he, in the way that he's explaining it for somebody who's supposed to be losing it mentally. But tell us, would you have any issues with his economic ambitions as he outlined there?
Yes, I'd have many issues. First of all, Matt, it's the governors and the mayors that have control over restaurants and bars and other places. They're the ones who vary from state to state. The president can't do this on his own. Number two, the economy was booming because of tax cuts and reductions in regulations before the virus hit. Even now, the unemployment rate has declined significantly, and people are going back to work. Schools are starting to open again. So the vaccines are going to be available very shortly, according to Pfizer and Moderna. The stock market yesterday, responding to this, was up 490 points. I mean, we are back on the right track in the right direction. Joe Biden isn't going to be able to improve any of these numbers by just making speeches or commenting at news conferences. We know what drives the economy. We have a $27 trillion debt. And here is Biden talking about giving everybody in the country money. Where's that going to come from? From China? I don't think so.
Well, it's a debt he has inherited from Donald Trump, you could
say.
I know. Let's hear a little bit about from President Barack Obama, the former president, what he told Oprah Winfrey in an interview about his new memoir about how he expects a Biden presidency to be different from Trump's.
This gives us a chance to get back to the kind of competent, caring government that we so badly need. I think that what Joe and Kamala can do is to level set, to reestablish that we don't use the Justice Department, for example, to go after political enemies, that we don't mingle personal business interests with the business of government, that there's an expectation that the president doesn't routinely lie or reshape the truth to his own convenience, that you know he doesn't call journalists enemies of the state. You know, those kinds of things, which in some ways we became numb to over the last several years, I think that's the stuff that can be fixed, and Joe and Kamala will set a different tone.
Yes, they will set a different tone. Do you have any issues with that, Cal?
Well, it's ironic that he would talk about not using the Justice Department. He might have added the IRS to go after political enemies. This was the president whose Attorney General Eric Holder felt exactly the opposite. And you know, Biden had said during that news conference that he was didn't feel it was right to go after Trump after he leaves office using the Justice Department. However, he said, contradicting himself, if the Justice Department and his Attorney General felt it was right to go after him, he wouldn't have any problem with that. I remember, you know, Gerald Ford, who pardoned Richard Nixon because he said the country needs to heal and move forward. I think this would be a huge mistake if the left and under the Biden administration continued to go after and persecute Donald Trump. That is going to divide even further.
Oh, give Donald Trump a free pass. Indeed. Cal Thomas, Marion McKeown, thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word of Today FM. In fact, there's quite a lot of people who are now wondering if the next campaign from Trump is going to be to try and bully people to make sure that he isn't called to account for the things that he did before he got into office and in office.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.